Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
John 16 tonight. I want to start kind of a series. I'll do it on Wednesday night when I'm preaching, I think, unless I get different direction. But just talking about, and I've preached this series several times, but I normally do it every year. But I missed one year preaching on this. I don't know why. I don't know what happened that year. But I want to talk about answered prayer. Amen. All right. So and this is like, I shouldn't tell you this because you wouldn't know if I didn't tell you. But this is like, I think, about the eighth time I've preached this series. Hallelujah. But we got to be reminded that the Lord wants to answer prayer. Amen. And so what we do in this series is we just talk about some of the ingredients for that, you know, because, you know, when we say answered prayer, then we have to know there's ingredients that go in that so that we, you know, God's able to answer our prayers and that we're doing our part. You know what I'm saying? Because there's laws, there's spiritual laws, and they work. And if you work them right, then you get the results the Bible tells you. Amen. And there's things that, you know, you can do to short circuit the laws of the Spirit and not get the results that you want to get. Amen. Yeah. And so we're going to talk about this, and what we're going to talk about tonight, after I read our foundation verses for this series, what we're going to talk about tonight is how, you know, lifestyle, your lifestyle affects your prayer. And, you know, I want to start out by saying that thank God everybody here has missed it. You don't have to say amen, but, you know, you're not fooling me, you little angel. We all missed it. And we when we do that, how many know we just need to get up and move on? Yeah. Amen. And not let the devil beat us down because we're not his children to start with. How many know that? Yeah. You know, I had a guy tell me one time, he's talking about something where he had a failure. He's a minister, and he had had a failure in his past. And so we're talking about it, and it's bugging him. And then I ask him, I said, well, when did this happen anyway? He said, 1964. I don't know what my face looked like, but I'm like, hey, brother, move on. God's moved on. You've asked him to forgive you. Why don't you move on? Amen. Well, people. Well, forget people. They're not your judge. They don't determine what God's going to do in your life. You understand that? And so, you know, this brother, he said 1964. I'm thinking 1964. You know, and at this time, that was, I don't know, I think I was talking to him in the 1980s. So that was over 20-some years where he'd blown it. And, you know, God had moved on. How many know God had forgot about it? Matter of fact, this lady was telling me one time, she was talking about this minister that did something, and you know, and what he did was wrong, but he had moved on. He'd asked God to forgive him, and he was working to get things right and so forth. And she was talking to me, and she was just saying, I'll never sit under his ministry again, and went on about it. And I thought, well, that's your business. That's your right. But, you know, when she got done talking to me, the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, I'm more displeased with her than what he did. He said, this is already forgiven. Her attitude's in her heart. Well, moving right along. Just thought I'd say that before we got in this series. Is that okay? All right, John 16. I didn't mean to be so intense. I hope you're all. Y'all feeling good tonight? All right, John 16. Look with me, verse 23. I'm just simply saying to you, I'm going to preach some things tonight, but don't let the devil put you under condemnation. There's a big difference between conviction and condemnation. You know, the devil's condemnation just means he just tells you you're all around no good, you're a rat, you know, and there's nothing, you know, nothing you can do. You're just a punk. But, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't operate that way. If he wants to deal with something, he'll tell you what it is. He'll put his finger on it and say, this right here, fix this. And he won't beat you up. He'll lift you up. It's hard to preach with all this help going on around here, right? All right. John 16, verse 23. Jesus said in that day, and he's talking about after his resurrection, because he's been talking to him about, you know, his resurrection, his death and his resurrection. He said, in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Now, you know, up to this time, the disciples wanted something, they asked Jesus. But he says, verily, verily, most assuredly, truly, truly, I say to you that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Isn't that good? Up till now, hitherto, up till now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive that your joy may be full. You know, God wants to bless us, doesn't he? And he wants our joy full. Amen. And he wants us to ask for things and him be able to provide those things. Verse 25, these things I've spoken unto you in Proverbs, for the time comes when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father, or show you the Father plainly. At that day, you shall ask in my name. I do not say unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you've loved me. Anybody love the Lord?
Yes.
All right. He says, then the Father loves you. And you and have believed that I came out from God. Now, here, Jesus is telling us that answered prayer is possible. Right? It isn't like hit and miss. God might. Remember, we talked about that Sunday morning. Or he might not. No, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you.
Amen.
Now, you understand there are some things which we'll talk about in this series that goes along with that, you know, that kind of, you know, that kind of instructs us what to ask.
Yeah.
Amen. We'll talk about that. But there's other things. You know, you have to, I always say this, when you want to study a Bible subject, study everything the Bible says about it. Don't just pull a verse or two out and base your doctrine on that. Now, I've learned to do that with Bible topics because there's other things the Bible says about that subject and you need to know everything. I hope that makes sense to you. How many know, is it illegal to run a red light? Now, some of you are like, that was kind of felt like a maybe, Matt, to me from some people. Like, well, I don't know, maybe. Might be, you know, I don't know. I ran three one day. I ran one, Phil's getting on to me for running. I ran another one. She got to tell me to run the second one. I ran a third one. Amen. Thank God nobody was coming. But it is, right? It's illegal. But have you know, there's more to that story than that. Have you know, the police do it all the time. Ambulance drivers do it. Fire truck people do it. Are they breaking the law? No, because there's an exception there. So I'm just simply saying to you, when you talk about prayer, you got to look at what the Bible says about it. Digest what it says. Amen. So Jesus is telling us that, you know, the day's coming. He's telling his disciples, that is, that the day's coming when you won't ask me anything. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, see, in his name, you know, like coming in his place, right? You go to the bank, you borrow money. You know, if you ever borrowed money on somebody else's name, you know what I'm saying? You're borrowing on somebody else's name, not your own name. Let me say this. Let me put it to you. You know, if I went to the bank today, tonight, or tomorrow, I went to the bank and I said, you know, I would really like to borrow $10 million. I mean, you know, just kind of a personal loan. I got a pretty good feeling what the answer is going to be. But have you know, if, well, who's somebody that's rich? Besides you, President Trump, oh, Bill Gates, or somebody like that. How do you know that? If they put their name on it, how do you know I'm going to get it? Because they have more assets than I do. Amen. They're going to say, "Well, what assets do you have? Well, I got a house. My wife's got a Honda. I got a pickup truck." Amen. lawnmower. You know, some money in a bank, you know, some. But is it enough to cover 10 million? Not even close. Won't even cover the first million. I don't think. But anyway, I'm pretty sure it won't. She knows more about that than I do. I just show up, that's all. I just live in a house. I don't pay the bills or anything. So here's the thing. Jesus said ask in his name. How many know? The Bible tells us he's the guarantee, the surety of the new covenant. He's behind it. So he said, whatever you ask in my name, it's just like if I was asking for it. He gave us, this is so exciting to me, he gave us his asking privileges with the Father. Think about it. How many believe that he probably got all his prayers answered? So is it possible for us to get our prayers, all of them answered? It is, isn't it? Why? Because if we pray it in his name, and that's deeper than just saying the name of Jesus. It's deeper than that. It means when we say his name, what we ask has to be in line with his character. Yeah. Amen. What he would ask. Right? So that's why we have to know a little bit more about the word to know what we can ask for. Amen. So, but I wanted you to see that, you know, the Father loves us just like he loves Jesus. Amen. That's good. Now, let's talk about this. Let's go to some scripture tonight. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, because I want to talk about this. I talk about how your lifestyle affects your prayer life. Now, a lot of people won't teach you this. They just say, well, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you can get anything you want. And that is true. That is true. We are the right. You could. How many know you couldn't earn anything that God has? He gave it to us. But you do have to walk certain ways to be in a position to receive it. And I'm going to show you what the Bible says about that. You have to position your life in a place. There's a balance here. Let me finish that statement. You got to position yourself in a place to receive it. But there's a balance here because we are the righteousness of God. But as the righteousness of God, we're supposed to act like the righteousness of God. Because we are the righteousness of God, we should be able to live righteous. You understand? We couldn't do it before, but because God has given us his righteousness, it's empowered us to live a holy life. Amen. And so all that, because you get some that they want to throw the other side out and say, well, it doesn't matter what you do, you're still a righteous of God. Well, all right, but still, the Bible has something else to say about that than what you just said. You understand? Now let me show you some things. I hope you get this tonight. Look at this in 1 John chapter 3. Go there. In verse 19, 1 John 3:19. John says, hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. How many of your hearts have to have assurance? For if our heart, now listen to this, for if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart and he knows all things. So in other words, if your heart's giving you problems, then there's something wrong there. And if there's something wrong, if your heart is giving you problems, God's greater than your heart. He knows what's going on. Yeah. Amen. So that's what John's saying. So it's important now. It's real important that our heart is in a right spot with God. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. See, I've always taught people this. One of the things that sin will do is it'll rob you of your faith. It'll rob you of your confidence. Your heart knows. Your heart knows. And the Bible says you got to keep your heart with all diligence. Amen. For out of it are the issues of life. Verse 22. Now this is a scripture that it's in. It's everybody say New Testament. Okay. This is a New Testament, right? Verse 22, whatsoever we, and whatsoever, if we have confidence, let's read verse 21 again. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive of him. Notice this, because, here's the reason, we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Isn't that something? See, that's part that sometimes gets left out, that the Bible says we have whatever we ask because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, it's not saying that if you don't do God's commandments and you don't do things that are pleasing in His sight, that He doesn't love you, He doesn't want to have anything to do with you. It's telling us your heart will condemn you. You won't have any confidence. You won't have any faith. Come on. Has any of you husbands ever did something wrong at home? Any of your wives ever done something wrong? You know what I'm saying? Like you scratched your husband's new truck? You lose some confidence. We saw this one video. This lady had three dogs. I think they might have been poodles. The three dogs. And one of them had torn something up. Remember that? I don't remember. Torn something and shredded paper. And so this video is really cute. Y'all, you can probably Google it and find it, you know. But they're all three up on top of the steps. You know, they got stairs that go up to the second level. They're all three standing up there on the very top. She's down at the bottom. She goes, "Who did this? Who did this?" She calls him up. "Did you do this?" She called him up by other name. "Did you do that? Did you do that?" Then she called the third one. "Did you do that?" He just backs up. The other two looked at him. Yeah, the other two, almost like they were human. The other two looked at him. He starts backing up like this, and he just slips into a bedroom. It's like, his heart's condemning him. That was so funny. But that's what happens in our prayer life if we know we're doing things that violate God. Now, in His Word, you understand we all have struggles with things sometimes, but I think what John's talking about, and I think when we look at these scriptures, what we'll see is this. It's talking about that we're struggling with something. It's that we just allow something to stay that shouldn't stay. Because we still have struggles with the flesh. Don't you? Right? Sure. And God understands that. There's no condemnation, but we don't welcome it into our life. We don't want it to stay. We're fighting it. Amen. You don't think you don't have flesh? Go try to fast. Just try to fast. I mean, you almost get stoned today for preaching on fasting. Because, you know, people, because you know, your flesh talks loud over food, doesn't it? It'll even make deals with you. If you'll let me have this tonight, I promise you, I will behave tomorrow. It's a lying devil. It'll tell you the same thing tomorrow, won't it? If you just let me have this tonight now. Well, all John's talking about here is he's talking about if we're living contrary to His commandments, we're not doing those things that are pleasing in His sight, it's going to cause our heart. God's not condemning us, but our heart's condemning us. And when our heart condemns us, we don't have faith towards God. We don't have confidence. Look at 1 Peter. I'm going to go through some scripture. We don't have about 20 minutes, but I'm going to go through some scripture, I think, quickly here. Maybe. We'll see. If not, we'll finish it up next time. But I want to just talk to you about this. See how your lifestyle, it affects your confidence. It affects your assurance. Amen. You know, and so you don't just want to just blatantly disobey God's Word. Right? And if you do, which we all have, you need to get it right. You need to repent. Get it right. Get it straightened out. Get it fixed. I didn't say you was lost or going to hell, but it's going to affect your prayer life according to the Bible. Now, look at this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Peter says, "Likewise, you husbands." Now, let me stop there for a minute. He's just told the wives, talk to the wives about how they ought to honor their husbands and how they should respect their husbands and how they should let their husbands get whatever they want to get. How You know, kind of like along those lines, kind of. All right, I added a little bit of that. That's the new perverted translation, the NPV. But yeah, it's good preaching, but that's all it is. So it's not the truth. But he did. He is talking to women about, you know, like verse 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your husbands, as if any obey not the word, they may without a word be won by the conduct of the wives. And he goes on, talks about wives honoring, respecting their husbands. So he says, likewise, you husbands, you men, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being, it's talking about physically, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So can your prayers be hindered? Right? If you don't have a right relationship with one another as couples, it can hinder your prayer life. Your prayers being, that's what the Bible said. This is New Testament. This isn't an obscure verse. This is New Testament. So, and of course, we could take that over in every area of life. I've found this out, that if you don't walk in love, you're going to hinder a lot of things. Amen. You know, I did some things. They weren't terrible, but I did some things, you know, said some things about some people, and none of you. I just want to make sure you know that. None of you. I'd said some things about some people, and I know I shouldn't have really said that. It was wasn't my business to judge them and say those things. And then I had some bad stuff come into my life, and the Lord said, you just reaped off what you sowed. I said, yeah, I see that. I'll never sow that again. And then, you know how God says, don't lie now about it, but, you know. But we'll work on it, Father. You know what I'm saying? We'll work on this. Because I don't really do that much, honestly. But, you know, you know what I'm saying? It's given your opinion. And maybe you can get away with that. I can't get away with that any longer. I can't get away with that. Just keep your mouth off people. Come on. And you know what I'm saying? And this wasn't even people that I knew. It was just people that, you know, were in the public eye doing stuff. This wasn't like people that I personally knew, but I was making my comments, you know, something like, what idiots, how could they, you know what I'm saying? Now, don't look at me like you've never done anything like that, all right? Like what idiots, how could they do stuff like that? Now, maybe you can get away with that, but I'm in a place in my life where God deals with me about that kind of stuff. Says, don't use your mouth that way. Your mouth was meant to bless and speak the word of God. I'm still working on it, amen. And so, but I had been specific and didn't said some things, and then I had some bad fruit come up in my life, and the Lord said, well, you sowed for that. So it's like, that's, you want, you got a harvest off what you sowed. So I know this is going on really big tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But we got to watch how we walk and how we live. So he said your prayers could be hindered, right? All right, look at verse 10, same chapter. He says, and he's talking to believers, right? Peter's not writing to sinners. He's writing to the church. And he says this. He says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Well, I wasn't doing that. And his lips, that they speak no guile or no deceit. Let him shun evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Does lifestyle matter? According to that verse, it does, doesn't it? You say, well, I am the righteous. Well, here he's not talking about the fact that we've been made the righteous of God in Christ. He's talking about how we're living. You know what I'm saying? There is righteousness in Christ, but there's also, in Revelation, says the righteous acts of the saints. They act like they're righteous. Right? We couldn't be righteous apart from him, but now that we are righteous, we're supposed to act like we're righteous. Amen? All right. Let me see. Let's go to Psalm 66. Go there. There's a scripture, and you can write this down and if you want to. Proverbs 28:9 says, he that turns his ear away from the hearing of the law, his prayer will be an abomination. it is just so hard to preach with all this shouting going on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, anyway, I don't know about you, but I've just made up my mind that I'm gonna live by all the word. Amen. I'm not gonna leave any of it out. All right, and I'm gonna live by the word and what it says. But the good thing about it is the Bible says in Proverbs 15:8 that the prayer of the upright is his delight. He delights in our prayer. He wants to answer our prayer. Now look at this in Psalm 66:18. This is a powerful word right here. The Bible says here in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, where it says regard, I like this one translation. It says, if I'm cozy with evil, in other words, I'm okay with it. The word regard means that I enjoy it. I enjoy it. If I enjoy evil, if I'm cozy with evil, I don't think this has changed in the new covenant. I don't think the Lord's going to hear because what's going to happen? If we do things like that are evil, then our heart condemns us. And if our heart condemns us, we're not in faith. And how many know God only hears faith? He only hears faith, the cry of faith. Amen. Now, I don't know whether this is true or not, but I heard one minister say one time, he said that he asked the Lord, he said, what do you do with all those prayers of unbelief? He said, the Lord said, what prayers of unbelief? You don't hear them. Amen. How many know, as a parent, let's just be honest, you learn to tune your kids out. But when there's a real serious something, you know it. Amen. I was preaching at a men's conference several years ago, and I sat by this guy, and he was so intellectual and so smart. And we get to talking, and he's just way out there, you know. And then he starts talking to me about his daughter, and she's going to college, and he says she's doing this thesis, or not a thesis, but this paper on they have, and I guess they've had it for a while. He actually said, I'll actually loan you the book and let you read the book. So he loaned me the book, you know, and I didn't read the whole thing. It's just, you know, it's just as dry as a clarinet solo. And, you know what I mean? It's like, there's some good things in here, but I got to wade through too much, brother. I'm just not that high intellectual stuff is not for me. It's for some people. So I did read part of it, though. I did read some of it, some pertinent stuff. But it's a lie detector test, and it can tell whether you're lying by the tone of your voice. All right? So here's the thesis of this thing. When you lie, your voice, the tone of your voice, even though you can't hear it audibly with your ears, this machine can pick it up that you've told a lie. It works unless you've told that lie so many times, you now believe it. Come on, all of us men got stories we believe actually happened and they didn't even happen. But we've told them enough time. We now believe we caught that 23-pound fish. See, it won't pick that up. But this book even said, like, if you have a cassette, you know, this is, you know, or a recording of someone telling a story, and this machine listens to it, it'll pick it up off of that. When I heard that, when he told me that, and I thought about it, I thought, you know what? When God hears our voice, he can tell whether there's faith in it or not. He knows. Amen. And he listens. I heard faith. The eyes of the Lord go throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them who's loyal to him, who's committed to him. Amen. So he hears that faith, see? He hears that. And so God doesn't just hear everything. Remember I told you the testimony. See, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Remember I told you the testimony Sunday morning about the guy that come to our church, great brother. He's a pastor now. Remember the testimony? Y'all were here, right? If you weren't here, I told about it. I was preaching, just preaching along one Sunday morning. I walked over to the left side of the church and was just preaching. I just stopped and said, you know, if you're critical of preachers, you won't receive your healing. And he'd been believing God for healing and been praying and sought God about healing. He had pain in his back, wouldn't go away. And he had told me, he said, you know, I finally talked to God, said, Lord, something's wrong here because, you know, I'm just not receiving. You know, I mean, sometimes you just got to admit it, it's not working. And find what's wrong. And that's what he did. And the Lord answered him. And he said, when you said that, he said, I knew that was me. I repented of that, adjusted that. He said, I got healed immediately right then in that service. I was healed. Well, see, it wasn't that God didn't want to answer his prayer. I mean, he had some things in his heart that was blocking the flow. All the promises were still true. But there was something blocking his heart. Now, you know what? His head may not even have known what was going on, but his heart knew what was going on. How many know your inner man knows more than your outer man? And so that's why you pick things up sometimes. You just know things. You don't know why you know it, but you just like you know it, you know? I've had that happen, I don't know, hundreds of times where I just knew something on the inside. Even though I didn't have any natural knowledge, I just knew it because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. He's in my spirit, and I just picked it up off of Him. My heart knows things my head doesn't know. And so your heart knows if you're living right, and that's what John was saying. If your heart condemns you, you don't have confidence. So lifestyle affects your prayer life, right? Look at we got a few more minutes. I know I've looked at some scripture, and I hope you got something out of this. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah 38. And this is about Hezekiah, and he got some really bad news. Isaiah, how many found the book of Hezekiah yet? Let me know. Say amen when you find Hezekiah. Isaiah 38, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. I mean, that's bad news. And Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, and he prayed and said unto the Lord, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I've walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. So I mean, he's pleading his case with God, isn't he? And he's saying, Lord, I've walked before you in truth and in a perfect heart, and I've done that which is right in your sight. And then came the word of the Lord unto Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add unto you 15 years. Well, my thought is what if Hezekiah hadn't have been walking in truth? What if he hadn't been doing that which was right before the Lord? What if he hadn't been doing that which was good? He wouldn't have had a leg to stand on. I mean, there's God's mercy. Thank God for that. But he went to God and said, Look, I've walked right before you, Lord. In other words, his lifestyle prayed. Think about it. There's a scripture. I don't know if it's Ezekiel. It might be in Ezekiel. I'm sure I've got it marked in my Bible because I preached on it before. But it talks about where Israel was in such a mess that God said, if Daniel and Job and Moses or somebody stood before me, I wouldn't hear them. And I thought, boy, those guys had some powerful standing with God when God says, you know, normally I'm going to, you know, I think it was Samuel. Normally I'm going to listen to what these guys say. See, they had weight in their life, see. I mean, you look at the way Moses prayed. One time God said, the literal Hebrew, God told one time Moses, said, get out of my face. He's interceding for Israel because they've sinned. And he said, now, Lord, if you destroy them, the Egyptians are going to say you couldn't bring them into the land. And God was like, get out of my face. How many know? How many can believe if God told you to get out of your face, you'd be booking it? I mean, like, yeah. But that's basically, I forget how the King James puts it. I think it's in Exodus 32. But basically, the Hebrews, God's saying, get out of my face, leave me alone. And Moses said, now, God, you remember your covenant. I mean, he had the lifestyle to back it, didn't he? It's good. It's good to have the lifestyle to back it. A minister, I'll just leave him a name, but a minister that I know, we're close. His wife was diagnosed with cancer. And the doctor told him, he said, I don't know that we can save your wife. You know, that's what he told my friend. He said, I don't know if we can save your wife. He said, your wife has a very aggressive form of cancer and it kills most women. He said, I don't know that we can save her. He told the doctor, said, well, you do what you do and we'll do what we do. Okay? You do what we do, we'll do what we do, which is we do faith. All right. So he said, I heard her praying in the bedroom, and he said she was talking to the Lord. Said now, and she called her husband by name. Said now, you know, him and I have not been phonies. We've been real. We've lived before you righteously. And so forth. Now let me just say this: you're never going to go to God and say I deserve this. That's not what we're saying. Come on, are you all with me? You can't live good enough to earn God's blessings. But you can put yourself in a position where you got some weight with God, all right? And he said, I heard her praying this in the bedroom. Now Lord, if you want me to go and be with you, that's fine. That's not his will. He wants you to live a long life. And she said, I want you to know that we've lived righteous before you. We've lived right before you. You know what? 30 days later, she went back to the doctor and it was gone. 30 days. Matter of fact, my friend, he said the doctor called him in and said, I want to show you something. And he said he had all these x-rays, CAT scans, or what they call MRIs, laid out on the table. And he goes, here's your wife when she came in. And then he said, now see, there's the cancer and all of this. And he's going down through there. And my friend said, just get to the point, doc. And the doctor said, let me ask you a question, Reverend. Do people interrupt you when you're preaching? He said, go ahead. He said, now this was your wife when she came in. This is your wife after this. He said, this is your wife today. Well, he said, I can't tell you anything. He said, what are you trying to tell me? He said, there's your wife with cancer. Here's the MRI of her today. There's no cancer there. God. And that's been over 10, 15 years ago. She still doesn't have it. Hallelujah. But she had a leg to stand on. Amen. Now, let's close. Come on, did you get something tonight? Let's go to Acts, because I want you to see this. I don't want you to think that we're earning God's healing. No. People that mess their lives up can fall on mercy. Right? God's merciful. But I just assume to live my life where I know when I walk into there to talk to Father, amen, that my heart's not condemning me. You understand? I don't want to just have to fall. It's all mercy. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But I don't want to just say, you know, hey, I've been a total mess, but I'm sorry, forgive me. He will. But I just want to live my life where that's the best way to live, folks. Amen. You have peace in your house. You have peace in your mind. You got peace in your body because of your lifestyle. It just affects everything. And we're not taught this a lot today. We're just taught, you know, you're the righteous of God, you know, da, da, da. And that's true. And all that's right. And without him giving it to you, you don't have a chance. But because he gave you that, he gave you power to live a righteous life. He gave you power. Amen. That's the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. In the new covenant, we got power. Amen. I mean, thank God for, you know, God's mercy and so forth. But I just don't want to live that way. I want to live like when I go in there, I know I can have confidence in my heart. And if I've messed up, which I have, and you know, that, you know, I got it right. We fixed it. I got an advocate with the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm acquitted. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My record is expunged. Hallelujah. So is yours too by the blood. Amen. Now, look at this. Acts 10, you there? All right, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth. He did that a lot. And he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. Now, I want you to notice what he's saying. God is no respecter of persons. You believe that? But he is a respecter of lifestyles. See? Who's he going to bless? He that fears him and works righteousness. Come on, did you read that? See, it tells us who he's going to help, who he's going to bless. He's no respecter. He'll do it for everybody. Amen. But he's going to help those and be able to help those that fear him and work righteousness. Now, once again, a lot of this comes back to the fact that if we live lifestyles that are contrary to the word, our heart condemns us because it knows better. And there's no confidence there. There's no faith. And God hears faith. He hears faith. Amen. Someone said this. I forget who did now. But they were talking about they were in Israel. And they still have, in some of the places, they still have, you know, sheepfolds and shepherds and so forth. You know, just like, you saw years ago, they still have that. And he said he saw this place. He was over there. He said he saw this place, and it was like a big pen, you know, big area, not just a small pen, but an open area. But it was fenced in, and all these shepherds put their sheep in there. And he said he thought, well, how do they separate them? You know, when they're ready to go, because the shepherds were stopping to do whatever shepherds stop and do, you know. I guess they eat like the rest of us, right? You know, but they put them all. They would have this area. They put them all in, and so he said he thought, well, how do they? I think he asked one of the shepherds, well, how do you separate them? He said, well, that's easy. And he goes over and he hollers for his sheep, and they all come towards him. Remember what Jesus said? My sheep hear my voice. He told him, he said, they know their shepherd's voice, and they will respond to their shepherd's voice. But he said the other sheep that weren't his said they didn't even lift their heads to look. Hallelujah. And so, you know, when we're in faith, when we speak faith, our shepherd hears us. Hallelujah. Our shepherd hears us. Amen. And we hear him. Amen. And all. So we have to go back to this, and we'll close with this. Lifestyle matters. If you're going to have answered prayer, you can't just live a loose life. And I don't think anybody here does that. But I'm just simply saying, God, as you grow in the Lord, God starts dealing with you about different things. You know, when I first got saved, and I'm just being honest with you, my first months of being saved, I really thought I had arrived, because I thought, my gosh, look what all I've quit. I don't drink Pabst any longer. I don't drink Bacardis and Coke any longer. You know, I don't drink, you know, all this stuff any longer. I don't do drugs any longer. I have given it all up for Jesus. But you know what? That was just immaturity. I thought, man, I must be one of the 24 elders in the Bible after all I've given up. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to make it and be one of them. I'm living such a holy life. But after a while, God starts pointing things out. It's like, I want you to fix this. Fix your mouth. Fix your attitude. Amen. Quit calling people bucket heads. Well, Pastor, I haven't got that revelation yet. You'll get it. Hang on. But you know what I'm saying. And so even to this day, God still, He adjusts me. Why is He doing that? So I can have a better life. Stand up. Praise the Lord.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.